Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. I'm Jim Reamer, joined by Kyler Staley and Dominique Neely. Dominique's back.
I was back last week.
Were you back last week? My memory is not back.
He's back again this week.
He's back again.
Nice. Yeah.
Don't call it a comeback. Been here before. We are watching Monday Night Football, all three of us. Correct?
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers carted off the field. That was news to me when we started. I forgot that it was on.
Got about four plays in and went down. Ankle.
Looking like news is coming out. Look, it's looking like a bad sprain. That's what they're saying.
That's good. Although sometimes it's better to break it than it is to sprain it. Depending how clean it is. Anyway. Well, we're going to talk about uncommitted senior point guards. Some of the top ones. Of course, that means we're going to be able to talk about every point guard in the state of Indiana. Because I don't think any of them are committed yet, at least not according to the list I've got. But right now, we're going to get up to date on some recruiting. I guess I'll read it since Zach is, what's Zach doing? Gymnastics?
Yep.
This is what you got to look forward to, Dominique.
We already got stuff going on, but we'll be all right.
All right, Jackson Bell, senior guard from North Central, picked up an offer from Army. Max Boer, senior guard from Greenwood Christian, picked up an offer from Bluffton. Jalen Bundy, a senior guard from Center Grove, picked up an offer from Franklin. These are all seniors, by the way. We'll get to the sophomore or the juniors here in a minute. Jackson Fugit from Fort Wayne Northside picked up an offer from Goshen. Keenan Garner from Fishers forward picked up an offer from Indiana Wesleyan. Cannon Hauser picked up an offer from Tiffin. He's from Fort Wayne Carroll. Jackson McGee from Leo picked up an offer from Elizabeth Nazarene. Alex Platopotis.
Don't ask me.
Yeah. Sorry, Alec. My bad. Picked up offers, plural, from Franklin and Manchester. Franklin also got involved with Riley Shepard, a wing from Tippecanoe Valley, offering him a scholarship. Nolan Swan, a guard from Tipton, picked up an offer from Hanover. And that's it for the seniors. The juniors, Mason Bales, guard from Northridge, picked up an offer from Bethel. Gavin Benton, junior forward from Manchester, picked up an offer from Indiana Wesleyan. Desmond Briscoe from Crispus Attucks picked up an offer from Etzu, East Tennessee State. Kellen Pickett, I think we covered this last week, picked up an offer from Purdue Fort Wayne. Josh Renfro, a guard from New Albany, picked up an offer from Christian Academy, picked up an offer from Indiana Tech. Jamin Townsend, a wing from Marion, picked up an offer from Purdue Fort Wayne as well. I think we covered Dejon Hall's offer from Illinois last week. Steven Reynolds picked up three offers this week. The sophomore guard from South Bend, Washington. He picked up offers from Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Mississippi State. Gentlemen, anything there you want to talk about?
Big offers for Steven Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're only going to get bigger, too.
Yeah, he was – I mean, I feel like I did a monologue on him in June with his decision making, how efficient he was. You're going to look forward to seeing him develop physically and where that goes, but he was certainly impressive there. Saw him play a little bit in Tony Leach's event in August, and he actually looked like he was playing with maybe a little ankle sprain or something. But just really love watching him process the game and play. Don't go quiet on me, guys.
I was happy to see Jackson McGee from Leo got an NAIA offer. I was happy to see that. I was kind of early on in his career, I was kind of iffy on him. I talked about this before, but watching him play this summer was I'm on board. Really love his game, and I could see him playing at that NAIA level for sure. So I was happy to see that. I was also happy to see Jackson Fugit from Northside continuing to get offers. I know he puts in a lot of work. I talked with their assistant coach a little bit, and he has nothing but great things to say about his work ethic and the things he's doing and improving on. So I was happy to see that as well.
Yeah, we'd had some back and forth in our Slack channel about McGee, where I would text or message you guys a couple of names, you know, him comparing to somebody else. And I think each time we've kind of felt Jackson was better. I'm not going to say the other kids' names, not important. Similar players, though. Similar position, at least. I think I might have skipped Tucker Tornada's offer to Indiana Wesleyan. Sorry, Tucker.
Indiana Wesleyan with three good offers. Garner, Betton, and Tornada.
Yep.
I like all three of those.
The Army offer to Jackson Bell is a good one. That's a kid that's come a long way. Mostly developing a little bit more of a consistent outside shot. And I think from there, just getting stronger with the ball. But like with Dylan Moran's a couple of weeks ago, I do wonder if that's straight to their team or if that's a prep school offer. I haven't had a chance to confirm that yet. But he definitely has the body for it, and as well as the work ethic, just like you'd mentioned about Jackson Fugit. Bell works in his game an awful lot.
Yeah, I liked Bell a lot last year. Yeah. He was their best player when they played against Carroll, leading scorer.
The school game, you mean? Okay.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I was impressed with him. It's, like you said, his body's really put together. And I was questioning if he played football. I thought I heard something in the stands about it, but I'm not sure if he does or not.
That was the game you heard a lot of things in the stands.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
And some of it came, and you know, the important part of it came true.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
Still waiting to see if low D1 schools get involved with Tornada.
Has he not gotten a D1 offer yet?
He has not. Not to my.
For some reason, I thought he did.
I will confirm.
I have a terrible memory, so.
Well.
I like to make things up.
He does not. He's got a Division II offer from Fairmont State.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Is he a four, Jim?
I think he's definitely a playmaking big offensively. Defensively, I think the question is how well will he guard away from the lane? Guarding action. Who's he going to guard? How is he going to guard that guy?
You think that's what's holding D1's back, is not knowing, is he a four? Is he a five? Can he play the four? Can he guard a four?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that's
what
fair.
Is he 6'6"?
No, he's taller than that.
6'7"?
Yeah. Strong. I mean, great hands, great vision.
Great rebounder.
I mean, great rebounder. It rebounds out of his area. I think the thing with him, the thing I like about him the best is just the way bigs are used these days. You can run your entire offense through him. I mean, he gets a little cute with it every now and then, tries to thread tooth out of a needle. Keep in mind, most of the time I see him playing is in the summer where it's still not as much as he likes that group, he's still not as familiar as he is with his school teammates. I mean, watching him play two-man game at Evansville Memorial with Luke Elsperman is fun because those two guys are definitely in sync. And Elsperman's really good without the basketball, cutting and especially back cutting and rejecting screens. And Tucker watches that. He sees it happen and reacts as it's happening and makes the right decision damn near every time. A little bit more guessing in the summer, but he played with some kids that played well without the ball, Morans and Bell and Kagaris and Walston. Those guys all pretty smart without the ball. Then he ran some good two-man game stuff with Kobe Bowles too. So it's just fun watching him play offensively. Defensively, he's willing. I mean, he didn't shy away from Badunga the couple of times he's played him.
Yeah, was that early in the spring, right?
Yeah.
It was, but I think there was another opportunity too.
One of those top 100 or something.
Oh no, they went up against each other at Kyle Guy's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
But he's probably not the rim protector you need at Division I level to be a five. So then the question is what are fours like in those leagues? Is he getting through screens? How's he guarding that type of action? You know, that may be a kid that benefits from a post-grad year. I don't know. I think he's a borderline case. But Army sure likes that Kyle Guy team.
That's right. Bell, and then who was the – who Marantz. Was the – yeah, that's right.
I know there's a little bit of interest with Hunter Walston too.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the offer from Rands was going to be there just because I talked to Quirk, but really don't talk about that stuff. I definitely don't talk to the kid or the family about it because I don't want to be wrong. But you know, it's just a different situation there because you got to make sure they want to be military. It's got to at least be in their brain. Can't be like, hell no.
You got to be committed.
Yeah, I mean, if Army would have offered me a scholarship at a high school, I'd have been like, eh, good. I've already declared how soft I am in that regard. I have no.
But some kids just look at it, oh, it's Division I, so I'm going to have that D1 name to me.
I get that. And I wasn't going to go for athletics, that's for sure. Maybe baseball, but not probably not. I don't know, when your dad's a Vietnam vet and you're like, hey, I'm good. And he's like, yeah, you don't need to do it. You don't need to go. Anyway. All right. Anything else before we move on?
I got nothing.
All right. Top uncommitted point guards. Which is, unless I've missed my mark, every point guard in the class is uncommitted.
You said there's only nine kids total committed right now?
We talked about that before. Hold on, let me get this back up here.
That's nine total at all positions, right?
Nine total at all positions.
Okay.
So the class of 2023, by this point last year, there were 20 kids committed. The class of 2024, there are nine kids committed, and that's still including catchings. Let's check out class of 2022. Let's see. Yeah, class of 2022 is a little closer. 2023 was just such a deep class. 2022, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 kids committed by this point in their senior year. So I still think I have to go back to 2021. Let's see. Let's check that out real quick. 2021.
That was a pretty deep class, right? Good class.
That was an incredible class, yeah.
Yeah.
2021, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 22, 22. And most of those were D1s. 2023, which had 20, most of them were D1s, but not to the same percentage. A lot more sprinkled in D2 and AIA. But this class, 2024, just has 9. And it's kind of what we've said all along. It's there's, it's not a hugely deep class. It's not, it's aided, of course, by Flory Badunga moving in. I mean, right now, the 9 kids are committed. 6 are Division I schools, 1 Division II, 2 NAI schools. The kids that are committed so far are Jack Benner, of course, Purdue. Cannon Ketching, still on this list, Purdue. Tayden Metzger, Huntington. Jackson Pardon, Bowling Green. KJ Windham, Northwestern. Ron Rutland, Indianapolis. Of course, Badunga, Kansas, Hayward to Butler, Evan Hayward, I'm sorry, to Butler, and Peyton Barrett here recently to Bethel. So just kind of a short list. I think some of that has to do with the transfer portal, no?
Agree?
Absolutely, yeah. It does.
Yep.
That definitely affects everything, especially in the 24 class. I don't know if the transfer portal will have this much of impact for the 25 class, but it has definitely affected the 24 class.
Yeah, I felt the 2022 class was the class that got screwed the most from COVID.
Yeah.
I think 2023 and 2022, or 2023 and 24, were the two classes that have been screwed the most by the transfer portal. And like you said, Kyler, we'll see where it goes from there. I like the NCAA's new calendar. I like that the new transfer portal rules that basically ends everything by the end of April. So then colleges can go from free agency to the draft.
Basically.
So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. More of the NFL model versus the NBA model.
Yeah.
Free agency first, then the draft.
Fill in the holes that they need.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Of course, you know, the transfer portal are going to be guys that play there next year. The draft is like a 1-year delay process. Been like the Celtics drafting Larry Bird. Waiting a year to get him. All right, who wants to go first?
It's got to be Micah Davis is the number one point guard, right? That's not committed.
Yeah, we would have to go in order. But he certainly has the highest profile offers. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can and think about doing some of this stuff.
We might have some back and forth on is he a point guard or shooting guard or what, you know. I'm not talking about Mike. I'm just meant overall with some of these guys.
That is true. That is true. I mean, we don't have to stick. I have my opinions.
So
I mean, my opinions are expressed via the database. I don't have position in this view. Daggone it. Oh well. No, I'm not going to be able to pull up that view. All right, never mind. I was going to try to have all their offers ready-made to view, but I screwed up. All right. I mean, Davis has offers from
Northern Kentucky, right?
Yep. Oh, shoot. Hold on a second.
Got some Mac offers.
This is great. Podcasting, by the way.
Great podcasting.
Why do I have... Oh, wrong. Micah. There we go. Well, that was painful. He's got offers from IUPUI, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Ball State, Eastern Kentucky, Moorhead State, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, Southern Indiana, Lemoyne College, Northern Kentucky, and Eastern Illinois. In that order. I mean, he had IUPUI and Purdue, Fort Wayne offers 2 years ago. Two-ish years ago. And then he went a full year without an offer. Ball State hopped in with their new coaching staff. But yeah, I'd say he's the top point guard that isn't committed, which is to say he's probably the top point guard on a list.
He had a good summer watching him play on stream with Indy Heat. He did a lot of good things in the games I saw. And then I think he was – I don't know if – I'm not sure if – I didn't hear much about him at Charlie Hughes. I'm assuming he did well. I just – I'm not sure a lot of maybe people I talked to were at any of the games there. I don't know. But I think he did get a – did he get a couple offers off of Charlie Hughes? Or I think he did. He must have did something right. But I thought he had a, I thought he had a good spring and summer.
He got definitely offers after Charlie Hughes. His offers,
was it Lemoyne or something like that? Or
well, when was Charlie Hughes? Let's get the exact date.
End of June.
Well, yeah, but I'm on
20.
Okay, so Charlie Hughes was the 23rd, 25th. He got offers from Moorhead State on the 24th. And then everything else thereafter was Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, Southern Indiana, Lemoyne, Northern Kentucky, and Eastern Illinois. So he got all of that off the heels of Charlie Hughes. I would say Northern Eastern Illinois was more of the result of watching him play in July. Because it came July 17th. I guess it doesn't have to be a direct correlation, but
yeah.
But those other offers he got like right away.
Did you see him at all at Charlie Hughes? I didn't.
I did not.
Same.
I didn't get a chance to watch Franklin play.
I heard. I mentioned this before, but I kept hearing that Kyler's boy at Ohio really loves him. So I just knew that Micah Davis had an offer from Ohio, but apparently he doesn't.
Yeah, there was always
Christian Smith.
Miami
of Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah, always a lot of interest, but I mean, they just never pulled a offer. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that interest is there anymore either. So I don't know what happened between all that.
Well, they didn't do anything at Charlie Hughes because they didn't play in it.
That's probably a good reason. Are you sure?
I'm looking right at the list.
I saw him at one of the games.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He's there. My fault. I keep forgetting the whole Franklin community, the community part of it. They played one game at Carmel High School Sunday afternoon at 3:40. I was home by then. The rest of their stuff was at Westfield and Carmel Dad's Club Place.
Gotcha.
They beat Northside. They beat Paoli. They beat Zionsville. And then they lost to Anderson. So that's not a bad week or weekend of games. They had a disappointing school season.
Again, yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, they were still pretty young.
That's right.
And last year, I think they came in thinking, well, you know, they won sectional the year before.
That's right.
And a regional game. And they got everybody back. And then they just kind of sputtered out of the gate. It didn't really get much better.
Did they beat Floyd Central? Or who did they beat in that regional? They beat someone that was, I think, was expected to – I think it was Floyd Central, maybe.
Let me find out.
What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They won the sectional, then they won their first regional game, and then they lost.
Yeah, they beat Floyd Central, then they lost to Bloomington North.
That's right.
Floyd was good a couple years ago.
They were huge, weren't they?
Yeah, they were huge monsters.
And Franklin isn't exactly huge, so that's interesting.
No, but that goes to a conversation I had about Floyd Central team in general, good defensively, but none of them were spectacular. None of them were especially good individually, defensively. Yeah. Shouldn't say none of them. but no stoppers out there. Somebody was trying to, I can't remember who we were talking about, was citing, well, he did this against Floyd Central defensively. Well, I mean, they're more of a team concept defense than they are about stopping one individual. You know, they didn't have any kids that can go out there just lock people down. Let's see. Anybody else? Who else? I mean, we've got the whole list. I mean, Josiah Dunham, we got Kobe Bowles, Johnny Washington, Teray Howell.
Josiah Dunham to me. I always thought Josiah Dunham was going to be a low D1 guy. I feel like he's more NAIA level at this point.
I want to see what he looks like when he's playing with both shoulders.
Yeah,
honestly.
I noticed that this summer.
There's been times where because Kyler, I'm right there with you. I thought early on, okay, yeah, this kid's got a chance.
And then
I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously good, and I think he's a Division I scorer. That would be the kind of kid maybe that Dominic mentioned earlier, where we can nitpick, is he a one, is he a two? Probably more suited as a two.
Because he played with Travis Perry, and those guys were just interchangeable with how Indiana Elite would use them.
Yeah.
Defensively, he was – they had the game I watched against Gabe Cups' dad's team.
Midwest.
Yeah, he had to guard some of their wings, and they had to take him out and put what's his name in from Fishers?
Keenan Garner.
They had to put him in because they were just kind of posting him up in the mid post and just shooting over him or just bullying him to the rim. So that would be kind of a concern if he's a two guarding those at whatever level. But
might be the same discussion we just had with Tornada.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he? I've got him at the point because whenever I've seen him play, you know, a school game, which hasn't been a lot, he's been their primary ball handler. But
I would think he'd be a one. I don't know. I mean, what is he, 6 foot?
6'1". I just don't think – I don't know what his distribution skills are. I don't know how well he's going to guard that position.
I mean, his recruitment's always been pretty quiet, too.
Does he have one? I thought I saw somewhere he had it. Was it SI?
Something. I know he's been on an unofficial visit to Evansville. I remember seeing that. And Evansville's a school, honestly, I could see just bringing him on, you know.
I don't think the current staff is just going to do that.
Maybe not.
I mean, he's got
– It's an SIU.
Yeah, SIUE. Yeah. He's got one current offer. We still have the Evansville offer in the database, but I don't think that's current.
It's definitely the old staff.
Yeah, definitely the previous staff.
But he could also be one of those kids that, you know, just keeps his recruitment kind of quiet and stuff. Doesn't really get caught up in the social media.
Well, he needs to not do that then, if that's the case, because it's not like people roll into Evansville Christian to watch him play.
Right. That's another issue that he could run into.
I mean, that's – yeah, I would definitely not recommend that. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I just would – that would be the way not to go.
Yeah.
I'd be trumping into that crap as much as I could. And I don't like – there's a group of people that are my age who are like, yeah, we hate it when the kids do this and do that. I'm like, no, that they got to. It's just A, it's just what kids do now, which is fine. But B, it's an indirect way to compete via social media. Absolutely. It's a silly way, but it's reality. You're competing for eyeballs, you're competing for attention. And it's like I like to say about times when a kid gets an offer that I'm coaching, I'll say, let's take this out for a spin and see what we can get with it. You know? You know, it's just because sometimes you might attract the interest of another school because you get that one offer. That whole piggyback thing is very real. Kobe Bowles, Johnny Washington.
Chad, I think I don't know. I think Johnny's another one that's. I don't know if he's a one.
You don't know if he's a one or a two. That's fair. Yeah. And again, you get more exposure to him than I do.
Yeah.
Two, right? Just the little times I've seen him.
What'd you say? Sorry.
I'd say he's a two. Just from the times I've seen him. It hasn't been much.
How was he used at Concordia? I guess we don't know how he's going to be used at New Haven yet, but how was he used at Concordia?
Yeah, Concordia, I think he was more of a primary ball handler. I only saw – what did I see them twice last year? Let's see. My brain's – like I said, my brain's in football mode. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, he would have been their – he would have been their primary ball handler at Concordia last year.
Yeah.
But I know in the summer, you know, he wasn't. He was played off the ball. But I just think that's kind of more where he would be better at is at the two. I think he needs to tighten up his handle. And obviously he looks to score it a lot. So I don't know. Yeah, that'd be a tough one. One or two, that's pretty questionable.
And I think Bowles is probably the purest passer in this grouping of kids.
Is his offer still current from Bethune?
Yeah, I think so.
Seems like he got that a while ago.
I'd argue and say he's got the best motor out of all the point guards still uncommitted.
Yeah. I mean, him or Lewis.
Trey Howe, I don't know.
Trey Howe, those guys are pretty active. I mean, even Casey Berry at Decatur Central are all guys. I mean, Berry's a guy that rebounds bigger than what he is. I know that's not necessarily motor. That's not specifically motor, but he's definitely a kid that rebounds bigger than what he is. As much as Robert Sorensen flies through screens, I think he's got a pretty good motor. but, I mean, Bowles is – yeah, so I'm looking at our list here. I guess I'm going back to now what Dominique said. You're looking at Johnny Washington. Javon Lewis, pretty much a point guard.
Oh, yeah.
We're pretty good there.
Yep.
So maybe Robert Sorensen's the only other one that maybe is more of a two whose recruiting would be maximized if he could play the point.
I got a couple other guys on my list I had down. I got a pretty big list, so all the way down. But a couple other guys that are kind of questionable if they're one or two.
Hal is probably, Terry Hal from Bossy is probably the most productive player on this list other than Dunham. But he does it against much stiffer competition. Although I think Evansville Christian has done a pretty good job of scheduling up. But Bossy, I don't know what their schedule is year to year, but I always seem to remember Burkhart never backing away from anybody.
He can fill it up, man. Trey Howell. He can get it going in a quick minute.
Oh yeah, he's so fast.
He can shoot it. And he came into that Rising Stars game and was just lighting it up. He only played like 10 minutes, but had like 12 points and was just, you could just see the quickness and speed, and he just kind of stops on a dime and gets a shot off. Obviously, he's small, but he can get the shot off and get past guys, and he can really get it going.
He's got a good feel.
Yeah, he's – what are his offers? I'd be anxious to see
– No, like, I don't think he has any reported offers.
He's got –
He might.
Marion. And that's recent. You got Marion in July. I don't know the difference. I'd love to get Burkhart's opinion on the difference between him and Mikhail Larry.
Aren't they cousins or brothers?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Probably.
No, they're. Maybe. I think that's his. I think they're brothers. That's his brother. Older brother. Yeah.
Would love to get some insight on what the difference is between those two. I mean, I don't think the difference is one kid goes to Miami of Ohio and the other kid struggles to get offers. If I communicated that correctly. I mean, Larry averaged 17.5 points a game last year for Miami of Ohio in his senior year, his COVID year. Sports Reference just needs to have class instead of having two senior, just classes, COV, COVID. I mean, Larry had a really good career at Miami of Ohio. And I don't think the difference between those two guys as high school kids is what Larry did at Miami of Ohio and what Howe is going through right now.
Was Larry Lowry, isn't he? I mean, he's certainly bigger than Teray.
Listed 5'8", 140.
Yeah. I mean, not much bigger, but it seems like when I've seen him play in high school at the state finals and stream and stuff, it seemed like he was finishing in the lane a little bit better than Teray.
Yeah.
Well,
and that could be the answer. So Larry's able to get downhill more and finish with, you know, finish among bigger kids. It's really weird doing this, knowing that everybody's still available. Normally we're hunting and pecking through and moving this kid out of the way. And it's literally the whole list. Javon Lewis,
he's got a St. Francis offer.
Where do you see him fitting in? I've got him as a D2 projection.
Yeah. I think NAIA D2. I think that's kind of his spot. I have talked to a guy who thinks he could play D1, but I don't know.
Let's
maybe
get him offered. Let's go.
But I definitely see that NAIA D2 level. I think that would be a good spot for him. At the high school level, he's got that it factor at Wayne, man. Last second shots, crunch time, kind of does it all for him. So he's looking to have a, you know, big year. Obviously they're going to have a new coach this year, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him and then the rest of that Wayne crew this year.
I watched their regional games. Remember they had the snow issue, right?
I think that was sectional.
Sectional. So there was something where it was like they played games Saturday morning and I got a chance to watch them on stream.
That's right. And they played two in one day.
Yeah, they escaped that morning game by the skin of their teeth.
That's right. Southside.
And Lewis, from what I remember, struggled throughout most of the game. And then the last, I don't know, 3 minutes, just like, okay, we're going to win.
Yeah. And then that night I went to the game that night against Homestead. He hit the game winner at the buzzer. And they had a court storming.
You know me, anti-court storming.
That's right.
Don't get Reamer started on that.
Nah. Casey Berry, another big motor guy, Kyler. You'd like him.
Who'd you say? Sorry.
Casey Berry, Decatur Central, big motor guy.
Yeah. Big motor guy.
If he doesn't play football, he should. Does he play football?
Let's look.
I would assume he does. See if I can find anything.
We're all typing. This is great radio.
Great radio.
Looks like he does.
Yeah, running back.
Not surprised. Here are his positions listed for football and huddle. Strong safety, running back, wide receiver, cornerback. SB, what's SB? Slot back?
SB. Just put it athlete, says, ATH. That's what
it
he
says.
It
says SB. He's a son of a bit. Never mind.
I'm gonna say it's gotta mean slot. I have slot.
It's probably just a typo, I would say. Maybe.
But I don't know. SB.
Super Bowl.
Slot back.
He's rejected Super Bowl.
Would that be the X? That'd be the X, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
That's the Z position. He's the Z. H-back.
It's got to be a typo.
All right.
It's D. It's supposed to be D. The D is right next to the S on the keyboard. DB.
So he's a CB and a DB?
Yep.
Wow.
Nickel and a nickel corner and regular. We're off the rails now. One dude I had down that I don't know, he might be at, I don't know, one or two, is Jaden Reyna from Bishop Knoll.
Yeah, he's kind of in that next group of guys. I've not seen him since he's been back in Indiana.
So I'm one time.
Yeah.
We need Zach on.
That's true. How'd you do, Kyler?
I mean, when I was watching him play, he was playing with AJ Lux. He's playing with Cooper Farrell. I mean, just for his what they had him playing on, he was more on ball and everything, and real shifty, and he can score too. I mean, he's kind of a combo guard in a way, but I just think long term projection, given his size and everything, he's built like a lead guard.
Right.
He's a lot more comfortable on the ball as well, where he can make plays.
Our next group of guys. I mean, Dominique, had you seen Reyna play at all?
Yeah, I seen him play when he played with, I think he played a couple tournaments early in the spring, not this summer, but the summer before with Indy Heat with Harrelson and on the 16U. Okay. I think that was like, it was at the Run and Slam. So I think they might have played one or two EYBL sessions, then the Run and Slam. I think after the Run and Slam, he was off their team, so he wasn't with them long. I just remember him being able to knock down shots.
Yeah.
Being a good shooter. The game I saw him, they blew out a team. So it was kind of, it was one of those games where it was like whoever, you know, just wherever the ball lands is who's scoring it, you know. So he got a couple threes, a couple pull ups. I just remember him thinking that he could really shoot it or had some nice touch from the outside.
Kyler, anybody you want to talk about?
Look through the list. I had a few names. Gotta find where I was at. One of them was Joey Schmitz from Center Grove.
Yeah.
I've always really liked his game. Really good on the ball. I'm trying to think of who the other guy was that I had. Let's see if I can find. Oh, Trey Buchanan from Westfield. Where do you see those guys kind of projecting? To me, I feel like they could crack the NAIA level. But I don't see them going any further than that.
Schmitz doesn't have any offers right now.
It's a little surprising.
None reported. And then Buchanan just has the one offer from DePaul. Yeah, I don't know. And this may be, again, what Dominique said earlier. What position are they really? I mean, Buchanan handles a lot of primary ball handling for Westfield. Schmitz, kind of. I mean, it's really him and Bundy. But again, they just, we'll see what happens now that Marcus Ankeny has graduated. You know, there's a huge void there at the point.
I'm still pretty high on that Center Grove team.
Well, yeah, especially when they got the transfer.
Yeah. 6'10".
Six ten kid. From what's his name? Hold on. Too many text messages. Let's see. His name is Michael Chigozzi.
6'10" junior.
6'10" junior. Heard about him for about a month. Finally enrolled this past week.
There we go.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
Did you hear that? The audio that came across?
Oh, no, I didn't.
That was just in my ears. Okay, that's good. I've got a picture of here at Chigozzi with one of the coach's sons at Center Grove, and it's kind of a funny picture. But anyway, yeah, legitimate 6'10", and I think Center Grove, I think Coach Hahn does an excellent job, so he'll figure out a way to incorporate him. What do you like about Schmitz, Kyler?
I don't know. I just really like the way on the ball, I really like the way he can make plays. I think he's stronger for that guard position, which I really like. He's got a little bit of explosiveness to him as well. He's not a true playmaker at that position. He's more of a score first type of guy, but I think when he goes and plays at that college level, he'll probably be more on the ball. More likely than not, but I don't know, just overall his game, I've always really liked it. And I think he's a high IQ player too. So he just got that scoring mindset where you think he could maybe be a shooting guard, but if he's going to go to the NAIA level, I feel like he'd be more of a on ball guy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dominic.
No, keep going on Buchanan there if you want, because I was going to mention Aaron Fine. We probably should mention him as well.
Yeah. Buchanan's a kid that's really improved his shot making. Just his range, how quick his release is. He did an excellent job last year coming off screens and hitting shots. Funny, in the sectional game, he kind of had a really bad stretch against Carmel, the game they ultimately won. And late, he hit a couple of threes that, you know, really gave them a ton of momentum between him and Alex.
Romac?
Romac, God. I'm getting old, dude. Romac's at Colorado Mining Institute. But, you know, Buchanan's also a kid that's capable of going out and putting up 20, 25 points in the game now. And Nick Book, their new forward, who just got an offer from where?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Probably need to put Nick Book in our database.
Let's see. Westfield offer. Here we go. Let's see. Not on here.
New Zealand under 17 team. Offer from Evansville. Nick Book, that was his offer.
Okay. I did see that, but I couldn't remember who it was. I was thinking IUPUI or PFW or something like that, but
Griffin Elite out of Kentucky retweeted his offer. He played for them this summer. Maybe in July.
Prep Hoops has that. Griffin Elite.
Okay.
UA
okay.
Rise.
There you go. You know, I didn't see the difference between him and Alex Romac as the difference between Evansville, Missouri Valley School, and a Division II school.
Maybe it's because he played for the national team, New Zealand. Gives him a bump in recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. If you, especially if you have more viewings of him than what I've had, I just got a chance to see a game and a half. I'm going to get a pretty large dose of him here pretty soon. We like about fine, Dominique.
I saw him play the best I've ever seen him play about Charlie Hughes. I did see him play with Indiana Elite at the Run and Slam. And, you know, he's off the bench for them and kind of a role player for them at that level, Indiana Elite AAU. But for Noblesville, he had a really good game against Wayne in that toasty, nice back gym there, auxiliary gym. I think he ended with, what do you have? I think he had like 19 maybe or so in that game, but he just kind of controlled the game. He was hitting shots from the perimeter consistently, which I didn't see before. Was a good leader. He did have one incident at the end of the game that wasn't great. but overall, I was impressed with him that game.
Like incident, like what? Like a bad shot or?
No, I mean, they had the game under control, and he just went in, and he thought he got fouled, and he kind of showed up the ref and got teed up, and his coach was not happy about it, set him on the bench.
Oh.
It was just kind of wasn't necessary. The game was pretty much over. Time was running out, and he just kept going at the ref, and his coach was really upset about it, let the whole gym know about it.
But I've seen him chirp at refs. I've never seen him persist, though.
Yeah.
That's out of character for him. That was probably just an incident, isolated incident.
Yeah. But I don't know. Projection-wise, I think, you know, you see him playing at an NAI level.
I do.
Yeah.
I think that – I guess there's been some times where, like last June, for example, at Charlie Hughes, I thought he had really started to solve his finishing around the basket in traffic. Issue that I thought he had in the spring and summer. This was June of 2022. I do think it kind of reared itself back up his junior year. I think there's a lot of times where he gets into the paint and he's predetermined he's going to shoot it. And sometimes it's just doesn't have the body control that he needs to get up a good shot, to get touch off the glass. I think some of that's when I thought he had it figured out last June, I was equating a lot of it to just strength, his improved strength. And ultimately that's what it is. Of course, some of that could have been too, still playing games where they're not scouting and scheming a little bit more space, even in Charlie Hughes, than an actual school game. And then finishing that in AAU is a little tougher because it's just bigger. But I mean, he's definitely not afraid to make big plays.
I had another couple names.
Yeah, let's kind of close it out by just throwing some extra names out there of guys that need to be mentioned, and then we'll, if we want to discuss them, we will. If not, we wrap it up.
I had David Cundiff down from Munster.
Yeah.
I like him every time I've seen him play. And then I had a couple kids from Fort Wayne. Will Jamison from Homestead. Not sure, again, 1-2, I don't know, but he's definitely going to, you know, I think he was a leading scorer last year at Homestead, but he's definitely going to be put up some good numbers this year at Homestead. I've seen him play in June a couple times. He's going to be really good for them. And then a guy Casey Adams would vouch for that played for his team, Focus. Cadell Wallace, He was at Lewis and now transferred to Southside.
I like that.
But he's kind of really, you talk about a motor. He plays really hard. He gets past the defender. He loves to set up his guys and make plays, but he also can score it as well. Left-hander, a little undersized, but like he brings a lot of good energy to, and Casey's team plays really with a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely not your typical AAU team, right? They're into the game. Their crowd is kind of loud, the parents. And they're intense. They, you know, but he kind of leads that. He led that team and gave him a nice spark of the games I see him play. So I kind of like him as well.
I think a couple more names I want to mention. I already kind of touched on Robert Sorensen a little bit. Mason Lewis from Crispus Attucks. Eli Ellis from Plainfield, of course. He had a fabulous summer playing for Kyle Guy Black. I mean, he was basically the best player. Maybe not the best talent, but the best player at 17 and under in the Prep Hoops League. I mean, he had some fantastic games. And they won that. They won their division. They won their age group. Chris Huerta at Carroll, Flora, the one there by Frankfurt. And then and Coach Wolf's son at Northwood. You know, I think he deserves a lot of credit for their success. And you know, he's going to have to step into a bigger role this year with you know, Cade Brenner graduating. And I don't know that they expect to go back to back state championships, but I don't think they expect to fall too far off. But I think those guys, I think Ethan had a pretty good summer as well. The Huerta kid is pretty nice from Carroll. He's kind of a sleeper. Probably still will be like a D3 kid, but you know, but also a kid that I think that when you really get down to it, he's going to be a kid that can lead a team and run the show. So, Kyler, any last names you want to throw out there?
Yeah, I had Nolan Swan from Tipton. Know you're a big fan of him, Jim. Mm-hmm. Noah Lovan, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, from Providence. Mason.
See, Lewis. I've got him on a different list. So,
yeah. So yeah, I've got Noah Lovan.
We'll talk about him next week.
Just wait, Noah.
You can talk about him again too if you want. That's fine. We're not saying.
Got him as, you know, I think he's one of the better under the radar guards, especially because he's in Southern Indiana at Providence. You know, doesn't get a whole lot of love around there. So, and then I also had Mason Lewis from Crispus Attucks, David Cundiff from Munster.
Yeah.
See who else? Miles Baker from Lawrence North. Always been a big fan of him. Let's see. That's about it, who I've got.
Yeah, if I coach in the fall league, I think Lovan's probably going to be on my group I coach.
Ah, so you are coaching.
Well, yeah, we've got be a team with three Providence kids because one of them will be with me. And then we'll probably throw three other sophomores on there. And then we'll figure out a way to find a couple older kids and without depleting somebody. Hopefully some good bigs register. There have been. We got a lot of young guys, which is interesting. Normally we got to scrape the freshmen, but a lot of freshmen have registered this year.
Get your guy Jacozy.
That's right.
Michael. Big Mike.
Maybe put that phone call in. We'll see. Anything else we got? Anything you want to push this week, Kyler?
Got a lot of stuff at HoosierIllustrated.com. I will say that. We're pumping out a lot of articles per day, Alec and I and our intern. And then at Prep Hoops, I'm running a series trying to knock out as many high schools as I can. I'm doing an individual high school showcase where I look at the top player, the potential breakout player, then a few other rotational guys and just look at their highlights of their schedule and stuff. So I'm trying to knock out as many high schools as I can.
Only 380 left to go, right?
Yeah, only that. I mean, I think I look at, I think I've I've hit like 18 somewhere around there so far. So trying to get three a day. So you see as many as I can get before the high school season starts. So if I can hit the majority of them, that'd be great. So that'll be going on for the foreseeable future. So a lot of
three a day. You probably won't get the majority of them.
Probably not. No.
Still a lot of content. That's good.
All right.
Dominic, anything to promote?
Yeah, if you don't have YouTube TV, get it. Get the NFL Sunday ticket.
I don't know about that part.
Expensive.
YouTube TV is awesome though.
Yeah, that's what I'm a official salesman of the YouTube TV. I'm just kidding.
You know what's more awesome is a 65-inch screen TV. This thing is massive.
You know what's even better? A 70-inch.
Is that what you got?
That's what I got on my wall.
I'm same with you, Kyler. Got the 70.
You really? So I'm the low man on the totem pole? Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well.
Best thing in my place.
But do you have two 38-inch TVs in your den?
I don't. I don't have
it. I just have one 55 in the den, 155 in the garage, and 155 in the bedroom.
Jesus.
I got the TVs rolling.
There's a good chance that there might end up being a 55-inch screen TV here by Christmas. And then we'll have one of each in the living room and the den.
We had to get the garage going because the kids like to play outside and can't trap them inside for Saturday and Sunday, so we can be outside and I can still watch my football.
Yeah. At
the same time.
It's in your garage or is it?
In the garage.
I've contemplated putting something on my back porch, but I'd have to kind of rearrange it. And I'm not sure how the HOA is. I live in a condo. I don't have control of the exterior part of the building, even though I do have a screened in porch. I'm not allowed to, I'm supposedly not allowed to attach anything to the building. But I might be able to attach them to the beams. I guess if I can attach the screens to the beams, of course I bought it with a screened in porch 24 years ago. But if I can attach them to the beams, I would assume that would include something that includes, you know, that would hold a TV. But I'd have to figure out a really intelligent way to weatherproof it.
You got time. You got those TikToks you look at. So you got time. You figure it out.
I'm a little off my TikTok game. A little off my TikTok game of late. But anyway. All right, guys. Great job. We'll talk. We'll do shooting guards next week. I'm sure we'll talk about Noah Lovan a little bit more next week. Kyler will have some material ready to go for him.
Yeah.
And we'll probably end up debating some of the one of Johnny Washington. We'll probably end up going through that rigmarole again too, which is fine. No rules here. You think that applies? Because that's something to talk about is what position they are viewed as. Is it impacting their recruiting? Things like that. So, but all right, guys, great show. We'll talk to everybody next week.
See ya.